So this actually goes all the way back to before the movie was even greenlit. Joe was talking to F1 about how we might pull this off and what technology we might employ. And he had the idea to take some of the footage from, I believe it was 2022 Silverstone, and demonstrate sort of our Top Gun methodology of taking a vehicle and changing it to something else. And so we got the footage from F1 at pretty high quality, and we cut together a little 5-shot sequence. And then I had our team at Framestore do a reskin sort of test, essentially, at the time we sort of cut together a little sequence with Lewis Hamilton with his car that was kind of doing a little action sequence. And we reskinned that as our Apex GP car, or what we thought it might look like at that time in those early days. And that actually became a bit of a show and tell for Joe to be able to use to convince some of the stakeholders that this is how we are going to put our car into real footage and how this is going to honor the authenticity of the sport and all the things that were important to kind of getting the film off the ground. So one of the things we learned from that early test was that the tracking was absolutely crazy hard. In fact, it required some of our best trackers to be able to get to figure out what the cameras were doing, because they're zooming and they're on these really long lenses and they're panning through things that you don't really know where you are in the world. And it's really hard to figure out. And so we sort of brute forced it in that early test, but it was one of the things that I knew I had to solve for the team as we went into production. We were going to be facing thousands of shots. So we brought on Clear Angle Studios and we brought them around the world, and we scanned all of these tracks that were key to our story down to millimeter accuracy. They spent the night, usually it was at night because we were filming during the day. And so they would work their way all the way around the track and they would do a huge LiDAR scan of everything just to get all the undulations right, get all the geometry of where everything was. We also ran a drone around and kind of it would circle around the track all the way around to take textures to kind of, you know, paste onto all that geometry. And so we were just trying to capture the world as best we could. And then the last thing we captured was an 8-camera array that we would run around the track with a stunt driver following the race lines. We were sort of positioned properly on the tracks. And we ran that with a really skinny shutter. So I was effectively just taking 24 pictures per second of the world. And we did that on race weekends. So we had all of the signage. Sometimes there was crowd in the stands. It would depend on when that lap happened and who was kind of at the, you know, bathroom or actually in their seats. But the combination of all of that data sort of was the foundation that our visual effects teams would then sort of rely on to figure out where are these cameras, these broadcast cameras in particular, where are they panning? Where are they zooming? What do we do? And that gave us the ability to match-mate the vehicles, match-mate the camera, and essentially recreate a 3D environment for lighting to put our super shiny reflective cars back into so that they would, you know, behave properly and look right when they were in the shots.
That 8 camera rig was just like shooting 360 effectively at high resolution and just giving you that detail you needed, right?
That's right. Yeah, it was sort of I think it was three cameras front, 4 cameras back. I had to get it down to the eyeline height of an F1 driver, which is 50 centimeters off the deck, real low. So we sort of split the rig up front and back, and we ran one up as well, just for a reflection environment. So that sort of
I was going to mention that. I was going to, like, normally you'd put it like out the back or the top of a car or something, but you'd be like way out of where you'd want to be for helmet reflections.
Out of where you'd want to be. Yeah. And there was, we can get to it in a minute, but there was some situations where we actually had to do full track swapping and digital environments because we couldn't film at the right track where we wanted to. And so that array vehicle and all of that data became obviously really instrumental there as well, which we can talk about. That was Monza. But that sort of became the foundation. And then, you know, in the broadcast footage, we were swapping in our Apex GP car, obviously. That was sort of the primary thing. The primary idea was that we would put our car into the race and we would put the race cars into our footage, right? That's the basic idea of it. But from a continuity standpoint, Joe and Steven would find shots that had the right action and the right camera move and worked well in the edit, but it wasn't necessarily the right order of cars. And so we ended up replacing quite a few of the other teams as well. And, you know, the F1 teams were not Well, we didn't even ask if we could scan their cars or photograph them because we just knew that that wasn't going to happen, and we didn't want to go down that road. So we sort of treated the other cars, which we knew we had to build and capture, as if we were press, and we kind of stood in the pit lane and tried to steal photos of them, and we got grid access before the races, and we would walk around the cars and get photos of them.